This morning's scripture comes from the 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse 1 and 2 from the Common English Bible. Keep loving each other like family. Don't neglect to open up your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it.
I heard a story about a woman who was having a party at her house, and she invited all these guests. But as things happen, you realize that it's summer and it was 100 degrees outside. So in the kitchen, it was about 120 degrees. And the lady was just slaving away in the kitchen and just working and working and working. And she was baking, so the oven was heating up and it just kept getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And the lady was doing a little bit of complaining, and her son was standing by and he was listening. And the guests began to arrive. Well, the lady wasn't quite done with the meal yet, but she hurried around and welcomed her guest. And as they came in, they all were sitting around and this and that. And she looked at her son and she said, "Son, can you lead us in prayer?" And the little boy goes, "No." And she goes, "Son, lead us in prayer. Show everyone what you've learned in Sunday school." So the little guy sat there a little bit and he said, "Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the heat outside. And Lord, we thank you for these ungrateful guests that you've sent to me today, that you could have at least supplied them to be here on time when I invited them. And Lord, could you really do something about the air conditioning? It's a little hot in here today." And the boy's mother was mortified, and she turned and looked. She said, "Why did you say that?" And she said, "Well, that's what you said all day long, Mom." So if we think about that, hospitality, I know it's a pretty bad joke, but hospitality is what we're talking about today. And as we continue on our series of radical hospitality, I want to share this with you. I started looking about the word hospitality. And, well, I'm not a wordsmith, and I'm not the smartest guy in the room by no means. So I started looking, and I found out that hospitality dates back to an ancient Greek word that means, real simple, love a stranger. Now, there's a Greek word that reaches from about here to that wall, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that because you all will then really laugh at me. But today we live in an age that is fully about stranger danger. We're always concerned about the stranger that is among us, those that lurk in the shadows. Now, I'm smart enough to know that if I walk down a dark alley at night and someone steps out of the shadow and says something to me, I'm afraid of you. I'm completely afraid of you, no matter who you are. So that got me to thinking about a real cool movie years ago that even the youngest in this room has probably seen on TV or heard your parents talk about. It was the original Vacation. Anybody seen that movie other than me? Come on, you know you've all have watched it and you thought, "Wow, what a stupid family," but they are our family. But as we look at that, as at that family, we think about this. Here's the Griswolds loaded up in the family truckster, and they leave Chicago. Now they leave Chicago and they're on a quest, a journey, mind you, to California, to Wally World. Now, this was before the days of GPS, because I don't understand why Clark left Chicago and went all the way south to St. Louis to go over, but he did. And he gets off the interstate and makes a mistake, and he winds up in East St. Louis. Now, for those of you who know anything about East St. Louis, it's a little bit different than what you're used to. In East St. Louis, they're driving down the street, and there's questionable type people on the streets. And the kids, they're not used to that because they're from suburban white bread America, and they're looking out the windows and they're gawking and they're, "Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that." And they're taking in the entire environment around them. And then Clark goes, I'm kind of lost. I don't know where I'm at. So his wife, who's terrified for the family's safety, tells him, Clark, we've got to get out of here. Clark, we've got to go. And Clark goes, well, I need to find out how to get out of here. Now he uses the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard in a movie, and today it would probably not happen at all. He stops, he looks out the window at this African American walking by his, yo, Holmes, can you tell me how to get out of here? And the guy looks at him and he says, man, I'm not from here. I'm from St. Charles. I don't know nothing about this. I'm here visiting my cousin. So he doesn't know anything about his environment either. So Clark goes, okay. He goes, but you can go down here and my cousin Tyrone is in the car down the street up on the blocks. And you can get directions from him there. So as Clark pulls away from the curb, we notice that graffiti's been painted on the side of his car. All four hubcaps have been stolen. And he's rolling down the street. And when they pull away from the curb, they hear gunfire. And immediately he goes, roll them up. He wants to roll up the windows and close out the outside. Now, once again, I refer back to, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I realize that glass on the family truckster will not stop bullets. But Clark felt safe, so he drove off. And as they went down the way, they get back on their path. Have you ever felt like the Griswolds? A little out of your element? Kind of really not knowing what's going on? Everyone around you is used to the environment but you. So you feel like you're out of touch. So you're sitting there in this area and you go, what do I do? How do I act? And church is a lot like that. Have you ever watched visitors? And this is something that we pastors, they actually have a class for it, and we actually sit through it and listen. Visitors who show up to church, unless they come with somebody who's been here forever, they show up exactly 3 minutes before service starts. Now, all of you that have ever visited church before, you know that's probably the way you work it. Their service starts at 9:30, 9:27, we will walk to the door. And when you walk to the door, you usually find the most obscure place to sit. Is that right, Ian? Or was it one more pew up? In the very front, because you know no one's going to sit in the front row. No, I don't know why we have these. Adrian will sit here because, well, she don't want to sit next to Lindsay, but you know, it just you sit up here in the front row. No one comes to the front row. And if you're a guest, you'll come because anybody that's a seasoned churchgoer knows you don't sit in the back. Because that's where all the saints of the church are usually at, right, Kelly? That's where you've held that pew down forever. That's your spot. You know that's the spot that you've got to be in. So guests will come up towards the front. And when they get to the front, they sit there and they go, and they wonder if anybody's looking. They are the only people that have ever come to church that's read a bulletin cover to cover, a welcome announcement cover to cover, and they really look at all the little stuff that you have here, and they look at the pencils, and they look at the hymnals. They're the only ones that do that, or guests, because they don't feel comfortable in their environment. Same way with the Griswolds. They didn't feel like they were comfortable in their environment. So we kind of have this thing where we bombard a guest at some point. We just come up to him. Hi, welcome. Mom. I'm glad you're here. Glad you're here. Oh, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. Oh, is that your mom? Oh, nice to meet you, mom. Oh, good. Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. Why are you sitting so close to the front? You've been here a while. You're allowed to sit towards the back. As he points to mom, she's still a guest. So as we look at this, we really wonder why we do that. Why do we make folks feel so uncomfortable? And it says this in Romans 12:3. It says, because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God's measured out a portion of faith for each one of you. Have you ever been confused about your surroundings and uncomfortable? Have you ever noticed that a lot of times when you're in big churches, when it comes time for the benediction or the closing song, a lot of people get up and slip out? They slip out and they go to the parking lot. That way they can get in their car and know it's not because they're trying to beat the Baptist to the nearest restaurant or, you know, trying to get home for anything. They don't want that uncomfortable feel. But we forget that at some point, we might be entertaining angels that are around us. That we might want to stay just a little bit longer. Many years ago, I was serving another congregation, and we had a member of the church pass away. It happens in every church. And the funeral committee, because this church was long enough that it had a funeral committee, that they would serve dinners to people who had lost someone. Now, our church does that too. And it's a great thing to do for folks. There was this couple at the church who was there. And as the family was gone to the cemetery, they were all decorating the dishes and placing them out there. Because, you know, Mary, you got to put out a nice spread, right? It's got to look good. Where's Mary? Mary's over there. You got to put out a nice spread, right? It's got to look nice. You got to have your little flowers and everything so it looks good. Well, this couple decided now was the opportunity to start filling plates. No one from the funeral was there, but they started filling their plates. And I'm standing here off to the side, and I'm watching. I'm like, wonder what's going to happen. What are they doing? And he turned to his wife, and he said, can you give me another small plate? Because there's several pieces of pie over there that I really like. So I walked up to him, and I inquired. I said, what are you doing? And he looked at me. He says, well, we're working, and we deserve to be fed, too. I said, yeah, you deserve to be fed. I'm not going to argue with you about that. But don't you think you ought to wait for our guest first? And he said, no, we deserve this. And I said, so you deserve to take the best first instead of wait for those that you're serving to go before you. And he said, yeah, I deserve the best. Now, I don't want to sound negative on this man because really he does have a real heart for service. He loves to help people. But he's like a lot of people in our churches across the world. We learn to adapt to them because we know their personalities, and we just say that so-and-so being so-and-so. But we forget that they actually are hurting the kingdom. By accepting their actions, we don't realize that it's hurting those that are around them. Same couple. We had a Veterans Day appreciation at our church. And there was veterans from the entire region coming out, and usually the church fed 300 to 500 veterans a free meal on Veterans Day. And it takes a lot of people to pull something like that off. And there were small children, maybe Delaney's age, that was there going to help. And their idea of helping was either putting ice in a glass or picking up trash and throwing it away. And this couple looked at them and said, you're too small, you're in the way, go home. So they stole an opportunity, an attempt for a child to be blessed, to bless the veterans, and they sent them away. 1 Peter 4:9 says, open your homes to each other without complaining. You're in no service if you're going to sit there when you're doing hospitality and you complain about what's going on around you. If you're unhappy with the meal, then don't eat. If you don't like the person that's standing in front of you that you're serving, don't say anything. Smile. If you're watching a production of some Sunday school kids up here singing the B-I-B-L-E or That's the Book for Me or, you know, Jesus Loves Me, and it's flat and off key and there's someone showing you their new Smurf panties and this and that. Laugh, smile, and realize that at the entire time God's enjoying the blessing that's happening. It's not a production for us, it's a production for Him. And remember that those guests that are sitting in the seats, they come to see the Smurf panties, the off singing. They come to stand in the lines at the hospitality meals. If you like them or not, you still stand there and smile. There's many times while serving in homeless kitchens across this great nation that I've stood there, and nothing against people at all. But when I see the person come in, I realize that when they come for the meal, I'm going to hold my breath because they have not had a bath in weeks. But they're still no less a person than I. So I will still serve them the best that I have to offer. We've got to learn to give the best first and not take it for ourselves and think that we're better than all that are around us. We need to stop the grumbling. Many in our world today need to realize, and this is my biggest pet peeve that ever happens. And I left mine at home. Because on Sunday mornings, you sure don't want to hear the pastor's phone going off or vibrating in my pocket. And then I'll stand here and go, turn your phone off. And you should be, it's your pocket. I'm going, turn your phone off, because I'm not going to take blame for that. But people take that cell phone and they walk into a place of business. And it aggravates me to death, because if I'm at a store and if it's at the devil's den known as Walmart, because, well, Eddie and I, we've got that same connection, how we just how love to be there. Someone standing in line in front of me with a cell phone to their ear, ignoring the clerk in front of them, ignoring the world around them because they're self-serving and more important than anybody else in the building. They're more important because, you know, they're all brain surgeons and they're getting called to the hospital to save someone's life right then and there. When really it's, I'm going to put this phone to my ear and maybe sometimes act like I'm talking to someone so I can ignore the world around me. Or the dreaded, here's my text message. Every teenager that's ever known can walk, talk, and text at the same time. I've seen teenagers, and you know, teenagers that can sit there with a cell phone in their hand under a table typing 1,000 words a minute. And then take it out, read it, and then put it back underneath there. Because they block out the world around them. The same thing with adults. We block out the world around us. And we forget that old adage from the 40s and 50s that a lot of you remember. And Basil, you'll probably remember it from your days in business. Service with a smile. It doesn't hurt to smile at folks. In fact, you can smile at some of the people you hate the most. Just smile away. Just be smiling at him. Maybe like, oh, he really likes me. When you're thinking, oh, he's an idiot. But you're just smiling. See, you're all smiling at me now. That's exactly what you're thinking. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. Dean's back there looking at his watch. I've got to go watch people smack a little white ball around on a field somewhere. Service with a smile. It doesn't kill us. It makes us hospitable. We can sit there and we can really share that smile with people. Smiles are contagious. Humor's contagious. If we come into a house of God and we stand around in a sullen atmosphere and we pick out everything that's wrong, you forget the reason why you came to the house of God. If you walk in and you do business anywhere and you walk in there and you're mad, you're going to stay that way. Years ago, when I first got hurt on the police department, I went to work in an auto parts store. I was a parts manager for Big A Auto Parts. And I used to tell my guys that when a guy came into the store, greet them with a warm welcome, say hi to them, laugh and joke, because the guy that walks into a parts store is walking into a parts store because several things have went wrong. One, he's having to spend money that he doesn't want to spend on something that he needs to get back and forth somewhere. Two, he realizes that any skin or flesh on his knuckles is getting ready to be damaged because he's getting ready just to beat him to death. And then he's going to walk up there and you're going to ask him questions like, is that a K-VIN or an L-VIN number? And he's going to go, I don't know, it's a 76 Chevrolet. Well, a 76 Chevrolet 350 has two different kind of starters on it. And if you don't know which the VIN number is, you're going to give him the wrong one, and he's going to come back and he's going to cuss you even more. So stand there and smile. Make your transactions with him and trying to brighten his day. Because God knows he's not going to be happy. Same thing with someone going through times of trouble. Be sincere when you ask how someone's doing. Don't make it a passing comment. Hey, how you doing today, Joe? Good. Bill, how you doing today? That's good. Ron, haven't seen you forever. How's it going? Be concerned. Show expression. Show concern for folks. No one in the world is so busy that we can't take 30 seconds to 5 minutes to an hour to stand there and show compassion for someone around you. Small talk is, how's the weather? What do you think of the weather? It's not important. One final piece of scripture for you today. Matthew 20:28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are not better than the one that carried the cross. We are not better than the one that took the nails. We are not better than the one that rose from the grave. So why should you think that you're better than the man around you? Be in service. Be hospitable to guests. Because someday, you might just be entertaining an angel. And you just don't know it. Because you're too busy to slow down to notice. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we've gathered in your house today, Lord, we ask you to allow us to start seeing with clearer vision. Allow us to experience all your angels walking in this world. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen.